20 years ago, on St. Valentine's Day weekend in 1997, I attended a search retreat, and it really changed my life. People say, oh, it changed my life, but truly, this changed my life. My life has not been the same since that retreat. And the retreat took place up in the Blue Mountains at a snowy mountaintop lodge. It was really wonderful, beautiful place. And there were a lot of good things that came out of that retreat. But the thing that really changed my life was an experience that I had on the second night of that retreat. And in that experience, which I can't even really describe completely, God broke through the walls of this interior fortress that I had. And he convinced me, he showed me the reality of his love, personal love, deep, immeasurable love. And I had always known that God's love was a fact. I knew, you know, I went to Catholic school all those years, and my parents taught me that God is love. But in this profound experience on the retreat, I came to understand not only with my mind that God loved me, but I had experienced it in my heart. And I guess you could say, I fell in love with God that night. And that's why things have not been the same ever since. Well, the reason that I tell this story is that from that moment on, I had a change in values. When I found out and when I experienced this love of God, I started desiring to know what that was all about. I wanted to know what God had in his heart for me. And so I started thinking about this whole question of what does God want me to do? Because I thought if I figured out or if I discerned or learned what God wanted me to do, then in saying yes to that, I could in some way make just a small return to God for the love that he had shown me in this profound experience. And so my prayer was different. I started seeking God more. I started listening. And I started reading differently. I don't know that I became a great Bible reader at that point, but certainly as time went on, I started reading about my faith, started delving into this reality. When we fall in love, what happens? We want to learn more and more about this person that we love and who loves us. Well, we've kind of been talking about this for the last few weeks. We've been talking about how to find out what God is asking of us, how to hear Jesus calling. And we've talked about how difficult that can be, right? We look to the scriptures. We try to hear God's voice speaking to us through other people. We enter into that quiet place in our heart in prayer, trying to figure out what God is saying to us. But there's a lot of room for misunderstanding in all of that. There's a lot of lack of clarity. Sometimes we're just left kind of scratching our heads. What exactly do you want, Lord? Just say it clearly so I don't have to wonder if I'm on the right track. But we've also been talking about how God gave us the church. Jesus established the church and made us part of the church as a means of really, really helping us to see and understand how it is we're supposed to live. We talked about how Jesus, in breathing his own spirit onto the apostles, in breathing his spirit into the church, he has allowed the church to be able to perceive and understand reality just as Jesus perceived and understood reality. In other words, as it really is. And because the church is animated by that same spirit that animated Jesus himself, the church is able to teach us on behalf of Jesus how to live our lives in harmony with reality as it is. And therefore, the church is able to give us true wisdom teaches us the path to holiness. True wisdom teaches us the path to happiness and to the full flourishing of our lives. And so when we come to realize that the church imparts all her teachings and instructions to us because she loves us and because she wants us to flourish, she wants us to be holy, she wants us to be happy, then we start to really understand that the church is our mother, a loving mother who doesn't just impose rules for the sake of rules, but who shows us the path to true happiness, the path of true wisdom. So we think about this question of how we hear Jesus' voice today. We've really been given a tremendously beautiful gift in the church. Because when we look at the Catechism, or when we listen to Pope Francis's homilies, or when we look at encyclicals from today or from years gone by, this is all pretty clear teaching to us. It's not left ambiguous when it comes to matters of faith and morals. Those questions of how should I live my life? The church helps us. Now, obviously the church doesn't spell out our life from beginning to end, because everyone's life is different. But when we seek the church's teachings, we open ourselves to that wonderful wisdom that leads us on the path to happiness. I was thinking about the creed that we profess every Sunday. How when we profess the creed, we talk about all the things we believe in, right? We say we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. But then there's that fourth element there. We say we believe in the church. Now, obviously, the church is not God. The church is not the fourth person of the Trinity or quadrinity or something. And yet, at the same time, the church is of divine origin. Jesus made the church. He blew his own breath, his own spirit into the church to give the church life. But in light of what we've been talking about these last few Sundays, I wonder if when we pray the creed, we should not only have this intellectual acknowledgement that we believe in these things, but shouldn't the creed stir something in our heart? So that what we're really doing is we're saying, we love God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. We love Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, consubstantial with the Father. We love the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. And yes, we love the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. When we confess our love for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we ponder this reality of the church that Jesus has given us and made us part of, wow, we ought to really love the church. Then, when we love the church, when we really come to a deeper love of the church, this thirst develops in us, where we start wanting, desiring the wisdom that the church has to offer. Just as on that retreat, everything changed, and I started pursuing the Lord and pursuing his wisdom for my life. I wanted to know what he wanted from me. So when we start loving the church more, we have this thirst for the church's wisdom, because we know and we trust that that wisdom will lead us on the path to true happiness. So today we might just pray for a few different things. First of all, to fall more and more deeply in love with God and to know more and more deeply God's love for us. Secondly, that we might truly love the church as the instrument that Jesus has given us so that we might hear him speaking to us clearly, without ambiguity, that we might be given direction in our lives through the church. And thirdly, that we might really experience this enkindling of desire to know what the church teaches us, to understand the wisdom that the church conveys to us. Incidentally, Lent is coming up here in about a week and a half. It's a great opportunity for us to do something very deliberate to deepen our faith. I would encourage you this Lent to choose some teaching that the church has given. Study some homilies from the Pope, or choose an encyclical. I can help you do that if you want. But or look at the catechism. You know, decide to read through a section of the catechism this Lent. But do something to delve into this wonderful wisdom that the church gives us. Because when we do that, we start to no longer just march to the beat of our own drum, but we start marching to the beat of the Lord's drum, as it were. Start taking in that wisdom into our heart, into our mind, into our soul. Living by that wisdom, we're going to find a greater, deeper level of happiness.